Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support redefining the Constitution.
A limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen for blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and flashbombs at Washington. The bill is working intense partisan fighting.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bob and Weave. For you audio people, we are live on YouTube again, and we're just trying to catch up here. We had a whole bunch of people dive into the YouTube, and we've been saying hi to everybody. And Rebecca says she is the Fluffster. I'll get to the comments in a second. We're going to start off, as we've been doing, with our drinks. Zach, you said you're drinking something different tonight. What are you drinking?
Crown Regal Apple and Mountain Dew Zero. Big old glass of it, and it's delicious.
I was thinking, man, you're kind of going whiskey, even though it's the apple crown.
Dude, it's really good together. It is really good together.
Mountain Dew?
Yeah, yeah. For whatever reason, it's good together.
Dude, if I'm going to mix a whiskey or a bourbon, I usually mix with ginger ale. Do you like ginger ale?
A little bit.
Try that same drink next time with the crown mixed with some ginger ale, put a squirt of lime in there.
Okay.
That's fantastic. It's nice. It's a nice airplane drink, bourbon and ginger ale.
Yeah, I had to step away from the Tito's. I love Tito's. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. But I've gotten used to it, so it takes a while to like kick in for me now. So I gotta switch it up
for vodka.
Switch it up every once in a while.
Right.
Pretty much everybody doesn't like my drink of choice, so it's okay. If you try it, it's really good, actually.
The one you're drinking right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Crown Royal, Regal Apple, and Mountain Dew.
I mean, I can't do Mountain Dew really at all, but ugh. Hey, Jay Pendergrass, loin's on there. And he says, that sounds disgusting, Zach.
Yeah, but what does Jay know? What does Jay know? I mean, I love that guy, but what does he know?
Right. I haven't even opened it yet. This is a small batch bourbon. We have a local distillery right here in Niles, a neighboring town from where I live. And it's called Iron Shoe Distillery. So this was made like 4 miles from my house and is just bourbon whiskey. Kind of a cool bottle. We're going to give this a try. I'm only having one tonight, though. As much as you guys like it when I get drunk and talk about pants pooping, I am on a health mission right now.
Crystal, send me a link to that vodka. Just send it to the Bob and Weave stuff. I'll find it.
I've been running every morning this week.
That's awesome.
Healthy.
I'm so proud of you for running. That's amazing. I really am.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm fucking happy for you, dude. I think that's awesome.
Oh, it's so bad, dude. I'm telling you, 300-pound bodies were not made to run down the road. My whole body. Like, I think I'm gonna take tomorrow off because my body needs to recover. I feel like I thought I was gonna die all day today. Just from my legs are sore, everything's sore. So I'm going to have a drink, but I'm only having one drink.
See, that's what I told myself, too. I'm only having one drink tonight. But right. You know how that goes. We'll see how that goes.
Hopefully this is good. Because if I only have one drink, it better be a good one.
Where'd you say it was from? Because I wasn't listening to you.
Iron Shoe Distillery?
Oh, yeah. That's the one that's like in down the road from you. Or something.
Yeah. It's well, you remember where the old Pro Muffler and Brake was in Niles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on 3rd Street?
Mm-hmm.
That building is now a distillery.
That was the weirdest fucking sound. That cork popping.
Right? Oh, I forgot to do my thing. This is my favorite sound. Is love that sound.
It's almost a little obnoxious. Not going to lie.
Let me see here. Let me catch up here. Jen says, I love when you all support local distilleries. Western Somme is great. Their flavors are on point, and they even make a spiked popsicle. Yeah, so last week it was local. It was a Michigan distillery. I had the Traverse City whiskey. This one is local. I think maybe for the next time we do this, I'm going to try to get, I'm going to get some Journeyman's from Three Oaks. They have a distillery
definitely
there too.
I liked some journeymans.
Bob Art. So first question, Jason wants to know if runner's high is a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely a real thing.
I'm not currently experiencing it, but I have in the past when I was, so my running right now, I've got a track from my house where I run. The total trip is 2.5 miles and I'm not running at all right now. So the way I start when I start a running routine, which I haven't done in a long time, is, I run, like I'll walk a little bit and then I'll run, I'll pick a thing. So for now it's like, there's a stop sign that's 1/2 mile down the end of my road. So I'm going to run till I get to the stop sign, then stop. And then there's, you know, as it goes around a curve, there's a sign there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk to there to rest a little bit, and then I'm going to run to the next one. And so right now I'm hurting bad. Like I'm dying when I get to each of those spots. And then what I'll do is I'll increase the, I'll stop reading the comments. Trying to multitask. But what I'll do is I'll increase that distance. So instead of that stop sign and then walking to the next sign, I'll run all the way to the next sign. And I kind of, so out of the 2.5 miles, I'm probably running a little over 1 mile of it. But right now it hurts and I'm dying and I hate every second of it. But I, in the past, once I get up to the point, Zach, you used to run quite a bit too. So, you know, for me, it's like once I get to the point where I can comfortably run 2 miles, I can run 10 miles. Like once I get to that point, then I get that runner's high where it, like, it actually feels good. I look forward to it and I can go long distances.
Yeah, there becomes a point when I'm running that it's like I just kind of zone out. And like you said, I could go 2 or 10 and you have no clue in between what's happening.
So right.
That's what I really enjoy about running is just that time out of my own head where I just hit it and go.
Do you listen to music when you run?
Yeah, I have to listen to music.
So I'm Becky thinks I'm a weirdo. I listen to podcasts when I run.
I've tried to listen to podcasts. The only thing I've ever been able to listen to while running was David Goggins' book.
Okay.
That wasn't that music.
Book? Is that the guy, the Navy SEAL guy?
That's the Navy SEAL, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been listening to like the Meat Eater podcast while I'm running. Just something about the music, like if it's just music playing, my brain just becomes accustomed to it real quick and I start really focusing on the run. And I hate the run, so you know what I mean? I'm miserable, so I don't want to think about it. But if I listen to a podcast, then, you know, I'm listening to what they're saying, and it's taking my mind off of what I'm doing.
So I can get really amped up by music, so I actually create playlists based on about, with my experience running, I know where I need it. Like, I know about how long into a run that I need, like, extra motivation. So I will actually create a playlist tailored to where I need it.
That's very organized for a guy that can't put the toilet paper.
It really is. For something for me, that's crazy. But so I'm really bad about starting off hot. Like I will come out of the gate running a 6-minute mile for no reason. And then I'll just wear myself out. So I'll start my playlist like really slow on purpose, like something really mellow to kind of like try to slow myself down.
Right.
And then when I get to that, like, 25-26 minute mark is kind of where I need that extra motivation, so I'll put something that really gets me going.
So I did, the last time I was really running a lot was and I want to, don't let me forget to circle back to what your playlist is, but when I was really running a lot, the last time was like 10 years ago. I told you about this morning when Becky and I first started dating, was when I was probably in the best shape of my adult life. I'd gone through a divorce and I was kind of miserable, and I used to run every day. I'd get off work at the fire station and I would run to the gym, which was about 3 miles, lift weights, and then run back every single day. And I got down to about 240 pounds, which for me, 240 sounds heavy, but for me, 240 was, I had a 6-pack at 240.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But it's funny because like Mike and I are the same height, and he was talking about like he's 208 and he feels fat right now. I'm like, I haven't been 208. It's funny just how different densities of people.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I couldn't be 208, no matter how much weight I lost, I don't think. But
if I get down to 208, I look skinny. Like, it's pretty ridiculous. Mike probably does look chunky. I mean, that's just because his body type is different.
Right. I got them big boned. I'm big boned.
I'm the size of a refrigerator, so it's all good.
Oh, I should change my name to Big Boned Bob.
Better than Bad Motherfucker or whatever you've been.
Right. But I remember that, like, so I had no playlist. I had one song. I was just really kind of an angry person at that time. Becky rescued me from being angry and made me a happy, sweet, sappy guy. and I had M&M's 25 to life, and I would just repeat it. And mind you, I'm only running 3 miles, and I was in good shape, so I was running, and mm-hmm. I wasn't like now 2.5 miles takes me 35 minutes, and my jog walk. But I mean, I would get out, stretch, and just take off. So I would only hear the song maybe 3 or 4 times on the way to the gym. But that song just got me just amped all the time, the whole time. And so I never really had a playlist. But it was just, I just needed angry music to motivate me.
That works. That works.
Mm-hmm. So what's on your, so you said you went running today after we talked this morning.
Yeah. So my playlist today was just Pandora. It was the G-Eazy station on Pandora because I ran with my wife. And we just shared, we shared AirPods so that we just listened to the same thing.
So, oh, you each put an AirPod in?
Yeah.
Nice. See, I don't like running with other people because they want to fucking talk to me, or I can't listen to my music, or I feel like they're either too fast or too slow for me.
So we did a weird thing. Instead of, normally I'd like to get out on the road and run. And today we were trying to figure out what to do with the kids, and we had an extra kid with us, one of the neighbor kids. So we went to the park because they finally opened the park just down the road from our house, and uh-huh. the kids played and we ran laps around the park.
Okay.
To get it. So
I don't know if you saw my reaction to me taking the first sip of that bourbon, but
look rough.
Not particularly impressed.
Yeah.
It'll grow on me, but very, very corny, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
For you whiskey drinkers out there, you know what I'm talking about. Like you can taste the corn in it.
That seems weird.
Kind of malty too.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Anyways, my That's playlist. Go ahead. Let's hear your whiskey talk.
I was just going to say that's one that I would mix with ginger ale. If I have any more of that, it'll be with ginger ale and some lime. That's not a straight drinker.
Yeah. I don't think any of it's a straight drinker. That's why I cut mine with Mountain Dew.
See, John Hayes knows what I'm talking about. He knows what it's like when you taste the corn.
That's
that could spin into another joke later, but your playlist.
Super strange. I start out really slow, like with Society by Eddie Vedder. That's usually the beginning of my playlist. It's really okay. Like it's a folk song, just real slow. Mm-hmm. At the point that I really need music, it's Eminem Till I Collapse. That's like the song that has to come out at a certain time when I need it.
You're an Eminem man, too.
Yeah. And then other than that, it's typically, it's kind of all over the place, but it's a lot of rap. A lot of rap when I run. When I lift, it's metal. Like I'm kind of all over the place, but when I run, it's rap. When I lift, it's metal.
See, I'm so much not a music guy.
Yeah.
In general, like I like music, but I'm not like Becky wants music all the time. She wants it blast in the car. I always have a podcast or an audiobook on in the car. When I'm running, it's usually podcasts, except for that, you know, if I need to be angry. Maybe I should start listening to that song again. Maybe it'll motivate me to run faster.
There you go.
Get
angry.
When I lift, there's no music. In our weight room, we have a TV. So I watch, like tonight when I was lifting before I came in here, I had Two Bears, One Caves new YouTube episode on while I was lifting weights.
Okay.
I like to have something that I'm always trying to, the whole idea of the noise or whatever it is to take my mind off of what I'm doing. But man, I am run the fuck down. Somebody earlier said that I should take some kind of recovery thing. Beachbody's got some awesome recovery drink that I've been taking, but I've been so strict on my calorie intake. And I did take some Recover last night because I was just burned out, but I have abused my body for 3 days straight, running in the morning and lifting at night. And it's a day like I slept, my Whoop said I got terrible sleep last night. And then all day today, I've been dragging ass. My run this morning, I was just like, ugh. But I'm feeling good about what my headspace right now, my motivation, because even though I felt like shit when I was running, like it says, like I got like that sign, I want to run to that sign. You know, you start talking yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm like, you feel like shit. You didn't sleep good. Even like my Whoop strap, which tracks all that stuff for me, told me take it easy today because I only got like 20% recovery last night.
I feel like I really need to get one of those.
Dude, they're awesome. I wish, go to whoop.com/BobWeavePod. See how we can do that, Whoop? Don't you fucking sponsor?
people just go to it and there's nothing there.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It shows you like what your strain is through the day, how your sleep is, and they have like a strain coach based on your recovery. So like it did today, it was like, you need to take it easy today. Don't overstrain your body. And I didn't listen to it, and I should have, because I wanted to take a nap by 4 o'clock.
See, that's the problem, is I just don't like having something on my wrist, though. Like, I like the idea of all that. I just don't like having something on my wrist all day.
Yeah, I'd forget it's even there.
Which is stupid because I wear a bracelet all the time, but it's just different to me.
What's your bracelet?
It says number one dad, love Maddox and Sagan. Not that anybody can see it, but...
That's nothing I can make fun of you for, unfortunately.
Nope, I had one for a long time. What's that?
I said that's nothing I can make fun of you for.
I mean, you can make fun of me. I had a Ninja Turtle one on for like 3 years until it broke. And then when it broke, I didn't have one. And then Michelle bought me these for Christmas.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Both of mine, I always have on my Apple Watch. So I look really silly because I always have one on each arm. But the Apple Watch obviously comes out at night because you got to charge it. The charge on this lasts 5 days. And when you recharge it, it just got like a block that you just slide over the top of it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it'll recharge for another 5 days. So it literally never comes off. I mean, it's got probably a nasty little tan line there.
So the hard thing with me, though, is I have gloves on and off all day. So it's really hard to deal with like watches and wristbands and stuff when you have gloves on and off all day.
They have other options for them. So like the little device here, the strap you can take off, and they actually make straps that you can put around like your arm, like up high.
So
in other places, they don't want, gun show? They don't make one for my size, but you know, you might be able to get one. I'll need a leg strap myself, but
oh my goodness.
But anyway, there's other places. People put them on their ankles, I think.
I could possibly do that. An ankle, I could do that, maybe. Mm. We'll see.
That's not good at all.
Well, stop drinking it.
That's a $45 bottle of shitty whiskey.
Throw some Mountain Dew in it.
Shouldn't say shitty whiskey. Other people might like it. I saw somebody saying something on there that you can buy like oak chips to put into. Guys, I think that's what it is. I think when whiskey is like this, it wasn't aged long enough in the barrel to get like the char flavor in it or something.
I believe you.
Yeah. Not that you care.
No, not at all.
Chris says, anyone else think tan lines are sexy? Well, I certainly do.
Yes, because you're covered in them.
Right. Like last weekend when I was outside mowing in my tank top and I took my white tank top off and it looked like I was still wearing a white tank top. Sugar. I guess. All right. So let's see these comments. What else? So you had your playlist. Did we get through it? You just said you're starting off with some Eddie Vedder and you're moving into Eminem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of all over the place. Got some Macklemore. I mean, it's a little bit all over the place.
Nice.
But once I need it, it's usually like high paced rap. That's kind of what I need. So it helps me. Twista, that's always a good one. Straight out of Chicago.
What I found with that Eminem song I'd listened to, it was the beat. I run to the beat, and it was like, that's why I had that on a loop the whole time. I mean, the song kind of got me jacked anyway. And then it was like, my body was in tune to stepping to the beat of the song.
Yeah, I feel like that's really important, is finding that something that you can get in tune with.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain rap songs or certain like songs, they just like, I might really like the song, but the beat is too fast and I overrun myself.
Right, trying to keep up with it.
Yeah.
It's not for me. Oh, we should mention that, not to say that we'll never do YouTube lives again, because I think we should do these at least once a month because this is fun and it's easy. But next week, we have decided that we're going to be in the studio again. We're going to be united once again, me and Zach.
I'm happy.
Sitting right there.
I'll be real excited.
Yep. It was Zach's idea, and he's making me do it. He's
going to. I am. I'm going to cough on him and give him the COVID.
He's trying to give me that Rona.
You know, it's funny. So we were in Mexico when all this went down, and I had a cough then, and we like joked about that, like that I was going to cough on people in the airport and all sorts of things, because we didn't know how serious it was.
Right. And the guy that was in the little cabana right next to us was a little dude from China. It was just yammering on and on about eating bats the whole time. We were like, this dude's weird. And Zach coughed right in his face in February.
We shared drinks. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Zach is actually patient zero. And that poor bat took all the rap for it.
It does happen.
Man, I'm going to try to get through this thing. Jay Pendergrass said that the reason it tastes like this is because it's young, which I think is like, what I was saying, that it wasn't aged in a barrel very long.
I'm surprised Jay's on here. I haven't seen Jay in forever. I don't know. I haven't seen Jay in forever. Loves us.
I haven't either. Last time I physically seen Jay was when he came to help me move.
No, that's a lie. Was he not with us when we did stand-up comedy? Did he not come see us?
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jay was there in person, I believe. I'm pretty confident Jay was there in person.
He was sitting right next to me. Yeah, he was sitting right next to me. I remember that. It's weird that you remember that because you were all like in a zone at the end of the table, like wouldn't talk to anybody.
I was
socializing.
I was zoned out, but I murdered or something.
Huh. You murder what?
I murdered because I was in the zone.
Did you ever get tested? Kelly wants to know if we ever got tested for the COVID antibodies after being sick last winter. Zachary.
I have not. And I've heard that at least here, I believe it sounds like you have to have like a reason to be tested. Like you can't just I want to be tested.
Last I heard, you can go to like any Rite Aid and they were doing like a drive through test.
For COVID, not for, I was thinking the antibody.
Oh, I thought they were doing both. At least they were in some places. It might be in Indiana though.
Okay. So it sounded, the other day it sounded like you had to have a reason to have an antibody test, but I could be completely wrong. I make shit up a lot.
Now they're saying that the antibody test is not really useful anyway. So who knows? I don't even know what to believe.
Yes, Jason, Bob did pass out in his room when we were in Mexico for like a whole day.
That's bullshit.
And we didn't see him.
That's bullshit.
We had.
I was out playing beach volleyball while you lazy slugs were laying around.
There's a video of us all in the pool partying and you're nowhere to be found.
If you look in the background, you'll see a volleyball over by the beach going back and forth. That was me.
I don't think it was.
So big news for us Michiganders. Our state is starting to open up, but not letting Zach go back to work.
Still not.
And so we discovered yesterday that Michigan is now the only state in the entire country that does not allow hair salons, barbershops, and tattoo artists to go back to work in some capacity or another. Does Governor Whitmer have your vote, Zach?
Not at all. Not at all. It's ridiculous. I don't even know what to do anymore. I actually got an email from a chamber member, like one of the chambers, whatever it's called, the board, the community board thing, today, asking me how we were doing, and I lit them up.
Not from the state?
No, from like local, from the Cornerstone Alliance.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So, and I not that it's his fault. It has nothing to do with him, but I let him know what was really happening and why we are upset.
Did you let him know how cool you think it is that 100 people are allowed to swim in a public pool together, but you can't tattoo somebody wearing rubber gloves and a mask?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous. I can go swimming in a public pool with 99 other people, swim in their pee and whatever else, but I can't safely tattoo a consenting adult with proper precautions, even though 20 minutes from here, it can be done.
Yeah, so. Just right across the border from me.
Yep.
You go down there. Yeah, I think that sucks. And also, you should know that you have absolutely swam in my pee.
I know I have, because I spent days in the pool with you and you never left the pool.
Never one time did I had 100 drinks and never one time did I get up to go to the bathroom.
Not at all.
But yeah, so Kelly Zappa says Pennsylvania doesn't. I'm assuming she means isn't allowing hairstylists to work and stuff again. I don't know. I didn't like thoroughly research that. I saw in the news. It was not Michigan news. It was just like a national news where they said the state of Michigan is the only state left that in some capacity or another doesn't have them up. So maybe not. Maybe Pennsylvania is too. Somebody wants to know how my sleeping is going. Not for shit last night because I didn't smoke any of that ganja. Took some melatonin last night. I haven't even been doing that. Huh? I sleep pretty good when I take it, but there's something I don't like that I'm inhaling shit into my lungs. I feel like, especially now that I'm trying to be real healthy. So
in a week, you're like, I'm going to switch in a week, not doing nothing.
Right. Dude, from keep in mind, this all happened in a couple of hours.
You decided to be healthy in a couple of hours?
Oh, yeah. Like Friday, I was like, God, I'm just getting so freaking, I was sitting there drinking beer, working. And I was like, I'm just getting so out of shape. I fucking need to do something. And I was like, well, I'd go running, but I got my running shoes are old and shitty and they're going to hurt my ankles. So I ordered some new running shoes and then proceeded over the weekend to drink 4,000 beers, went to a barbecue, ate some cookies and went out to eat. Just defiled myself all weekend long. And then Monday morning, or Saturday, I think, because I done Zappos, who delivers the next day, I got my shoes and I was like, all right, Monday, I'm going to be healthy. And then I went through the thing that I always go through where I woke up Monday morning and I was doing intermittent fasting, so I didn't eat till noon. Got up, went outside, ran my 2.5 miles, and then ate healthy all day and was working all day. Then I went down and lifted weights really heavy afterwards, and then went and took a shower and literally walked by the mirror expecting to see a lean and fit body. Like, I just felt like my muscles were all hurting. I'm like, oh man, I probably lost 50 pounds today. And then I look by the mirror, I'm like, who's the fat guy and son of a bitch? Like, why is there still a fat man in the mirror?
Yeah, I did the same thing. I did that for a long time too. Like, you just immediately start working out and you're like, yeah, yeah, that's right. I feel good. I feel huge. And you're like, oh, never mind. I'm not. I'm still the fat guy.
Hang on. So I'm swinging back to our comments here because I got a couple people who says, can't get actual CBD buds. Suggestions on a good gram for vape. I don't know about vape, but oh, because I have the buds. But then people said gummies, and you just reminded me I do have gummies. We haven't tried them yet. The problem with the gummies, talking about marijuana and sleeping, the issue with the gummies is you have to plan ahead, because they take 2 hours before you start to feel anything. So you can't be like at 11 o'clock, like, okay, I'm ready to go to sleep and go outside and smoke and then go to sleep. Or take some melatonin. You have to, like, at 9 o'clock, you've got to take a gummy. And then by 11 o'clock, it'll start to kick in.
You go to bed at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, every night.
Dude, I like, go to bed. That's when I'm getting up to pee.
What time do you go to bed?
I'm like 9 o'clock.
You, like, go to, like, sleepy time, or you're, like, in bed at 9?
Pretty close. I'm in bed by 9 o'clock, typically. And sleepy
it's
time.
It's dark at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's weird. We have that big window in our bedroom, too, that doesn't have a shade. That's like, it's pretty weird sometimes.
The face is south?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so 9 o'clock, do you guys have a TV in your bedroom?
Yeah.
See, we will usually go to bed at 9, but that's our TV time. But I mean, I don't know when Becky watches TV. I don't know what she does during the day when she's working. But I don't watch TV.
What she's doing back there.
Yeah. She's in the house working. And there's a TV on, but she's always, I think she has this, like, background noise. But the only time I ever sit down, and I think really her too, the only time we ever sit down and actually watch TV is at night. So like 9, 10 o'clock, we'll lay down in bed, turn the TV on, watch TV till about 11, and then we go to bed. Usually my bedtime is from 11 till 6 or 11 till 7 in the morning.
Nope.
What time do you get up?
It depends. It all depends on the children. A lot of times we're up by 7, just depending on the children, so.
If they wake you up. And you go to bed at 9.
Yeah, dude. I need my sleep.
Oh, has it always been like that? Or is this like a new corona thing?
No, it's always been like that. The problem is I go to bed and then I wake up at like 3 o'clock and I'm up for 2 hours and I go back to sleep. And I've always been that way. Like, I always wake up in the middle of the night and then I'm up for 2 hours. And like the other night, I got up and went and watched TV for 2 hours in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And then went back to bed.
I usually have to get up sometime in the middle of the night to pee because I drink a ton of water.
Yeah.
And especially like once I settle down in bed to watch TV, I always have a big glass of water with me. Or I have like one of these Yeti things full of water. And I'll probably go through two of these while I'm watching TV laying in bed. Mm-hmm. And so usually like 3 a.m. I have to get up and pee. But I like it's literally like go pee right back.
You can't fool me, Bob. I know how small your bladder is. Like I hang out with you too
much.
You pee all the time. Every time. I want all the listeners to know how many times Bob has to stop a podcast to pee in the middle of it. You guys might not know it, and he's done really good now that we've been live, but how many times when we're recording and he knows that he can just stop the podcast?
Hang on, I'll be right back while you're talking about this.
He's going. He's over here, and he's leaving to go pee. Smallest bladder I've ever seen, ever. It's ridiculous. I guess I should answer some questions or something. A Sleep Smarter book. That seems difficult. That seems like I have to read something. So, I don't know about that. Yeah. You can't get through an episode without peeing? Oh, he can't go. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he can't ever do it. So, I know we've done a lot of poop stories, and I think we should get away from poop stories, because I'm kind of over them. So, I have a possible time when I got a little bit of trouble with law enforcement, and I think we should talk about that. So, what do you guys think? Do you guys want to hear that story later when Bob comes back? Because it's a little silly. Or we could talk about poop. I'm kind of over talking about poop with Bob because, you know, we all know how he poops. My go-to G-Eazy song is, I don't know, I have to look it up. I like I Mean It. I also like Of All Things with Too Short. That's kind of the thing. Yes, I'm 80 years old. My bedtime is 9 o'clock. I don't know. I just need my sleep. That's how it goes, guys. Some of us needs it. Needs it? I can't talk tonight. It's a good night. Yeah, troublemaker stories. Yep, I could go for it.
I'm sorry, what were you talking about?
that I have a... I was talking about different stories we could talk about tonight. And I said I have a kind of a funny law enforcement, me running with a law enforcement with me story that we could talk about tonight. So, oh, no, I don't want to see no if people want stories. To hear it. Yeah, I said no poop stories.
So. I don't know if I have... I do. I have plenty, but I'm good with no poop stories tonight.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we do that, before you get into that story, I'm curious, and maybe you already asked this because I see people talking about it in the comments, what is all of your bedtimes? Just type into the comments what your bedtime is. All adults. I'm just curious if people... I can't believe you go to bed while it's still light out. What time do your kids go to bed?
Same time.
Everybody goes to bed at 9 and it's just like... Do you have the TV on or is it just lights out?
A lot of time we don't have the TV on. Sometimes we have the TV on. Just depends on how it's going.
Go in there and pull the shades and go to sleep. Michelle's asleep too.
Yeah. She's usually out before I am.
Wow. So Nicole says 9:30 or 10. Flat Earth, remind me that.
Yeah, they're coming in now. They're coming in now.
Julie 11. Christina says 10:30 to 11, 10. Rebecca says 3 a.m. Must be a night shifter or just, you know, weirdo. 9:30-ish from Jason. Kelly says 10. John, 10 or 11. Midnight, up at 6 a.m., midnight, 2 to 3 a.m. Don McElhaney, 11 to 11:30, TV from 9. That's about what me. 7:30, 10.
I can't believe midnight is terrifying to me. Midnight is terrifying to me.
I'm way better than I used to be. I used to always be a night owl. With my ex-wife, she was one of those early bedtimers.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, like at 9 o'clock, wanted to go to bed. And I couldn't do it, so I would always be... like out in the living room on the couch watching TV. And if she was in bed and I was just watching TV on the couch and I got into something, I would be up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's terrifying.
Seems like around 10:30 seems to be about the average.
That's midnight is terrifying to me. There's no way. I could not function.
I was up till midnight last night.
And that's why you're all fucked up today.
Yeah, but I got 8 hours of sleep. I didn't get up till 8. But I got bad sleep.
Yeah, bad sleep.
I got bad sleep. I didn't mean to be up till midnight. I got these new underpanties, as I mentioned to you earlier today. You know, I don't want to brag, but I'm saying I got these new... I decided to go to some boxer briefs for running, you know, for the chafing. Big man running means you're Mr. Miyagi and your...
That's how you start a fire.
Right, your thighs. So I got me some... And I was yesterday wearing some bright red Adidas... boxer briefs, and I said I don't want to brag, but Mrs. Ruff couldn't really resist, if you know what I'm saying. Ended up kind of late last night.
Oh boy.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I still got those panties that have the junk pocket in them.
These have a weird junk pocket. I don't know what it's for. It's just like a cooling pocket, and it's got like a little... looks nice in the mirror.
Yeah, no, I got the junk pocket when I had the vasectomy to like cradle the goods, but they're weird. They're kind of uncomfortable, actually. Like, I tried to wear them the other day just to, like, I needed some underwear because, you know, like, today I was wearing swim trunks when we did Truth and Justice. So,
yeah.
So, I was, like, needed some underwear. So, I used the junk pocket underwear, and they, a little strange. Not super comfortable.
When you don't need them. People saying try Duluth.
I said junk, seen the not jump. With the junk.
Hammock? Okay. I forget they're behind us. We already answered that. Story. You had a law enforcement story.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever had any run-ins with law enforcement, Bob? I mean, like on the bad end of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've had some, obviously I've had some ones where I'm not the greatest kid in the world, but I've also had one that is actually pretty funny to me. I don't know if it's funny to anybody else. But we actually got pulled over one time and arrested for mooning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Arrested, like went to jail.
We didn't go to jail. They let us go, but handcuffed. I'll get there. We literally, my buddy and I in high school went out to pick up a couple girls that are friends of ours. And on the way back, there was this car going down the road. We were on the highway and they were kind of being assholes to us, like flipping us off and whatever. We didn't even know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the girls had reached from the back seat to put a CD in the CD player, back when people actually use CDs. You know, I don't know right. if people even know what those are anymore. Put the CD in the CD player, whatever. We get off the highway. Cop comes flying up behind us, pulls us over. We're like, what the fuck? And he asked the driver to get out of the car. And we're sitting there. And I'm sitting in the front seat, kind of turned around talking to the girls. And I can see my buddy, Mikey, and I'm going to say his name, it's fine, standing at the back of the car talking to the officer. And I'm trying to be cool. You know, I'm like, ah, we're fine. Nothing's going to happen. We're going to get out. I don't even know what we did. Nothing's going to happen. And all of a sudden, I watch them put Mikey in handcuffs and walk him back to a cop car. And I see another cop car pull up. And they come up to the car and he says, Mr. Weaver, can you get out of the car? I'm like, no problem. I'm going to explain this away. Like, whatever we did, I'm going to explain this away. Walk around to the back of the car. Starts talking to me. They're like, we heard you were mooning. Like, I don't know where you heard that or how you heard that or who even did it. And it's like, well, it must have been you because one of those girls wouldn't have done that. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess. Well, can we put your hands on the car? They frisk me down, put me in cuffs, put me in a different cop car. A third cop car pulls up. They put the girls in the third cop car and then search the car. Meanwhile, I know that there's weed in the car because my buddy is a big pothead. And and somehow, some way, they missed the weed. I have no idea how they missed the weed because it wasn't even hiding, really. But they missed the weed. And then after four of us talked about what happened, they finally like let us go. But I bet we sat in the cop car for half an hour in handcuffs separately. Because they thought we were mooning.
Did anyone actually moon anyone?
No, not at all.
Huh. Well, the funny thing is, I think that they used some bullshit excuse to pull you over to check you for weed,
mm-hmm.
but then they didn't even find the weed.
Yeah, it was in the center console.
didn't think to look in there. Mm-hmm. They pulled the seats all apart and shit, looked in the trunk. And
yeah, like all down between the seats. Pulled. It. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Hmm.
But also really funny in hindsight now.
Right. So people keep saying they want to remind me about the Shane Flat Earth question. So, last week I text Shane and asked him if he believes the Earth is flat, and he did respond, but not till the next morning. See if I can find his text. Shane Yoder. Here we go. So his response was no, but they have some good points. When I said, do you believe the Earth is flat?
Interesting.
And then he said, I'm assuming you asked for Bob and Weave show. I'd be more than happy to be the guy that's arguing for flat Earth.
It's definitely
something I could definitely have a debate and try to create doubt. As long as people know that I'm not an expert. So we need to have Shane on to talk about flat Earth.
Yep. Shane needs to come and visit.
Yeah. I want to have that other dude that I met on, because he believes that shit. I mean, he went on about how we never landed on the moon. The Earth is flat. The coronavirus is all biblical. Oh, we're supposed to talk about that. Somebody talk about, didn't somebody post on the Bob and Weave group page about how all the stuff that's going on is like revelation from the Bibles?
Yeah. From the Bibles. And that if the rapture was really aliens taking people away.
I guess I missed that part. I don't know. What do you think?
What do I think?
Mm-hmm.
I think the question is more about aliens than it was the rest of the stuff. It's people. Oh. It was people. How people in the biblical times sense things because they only had a limited language to explain how things were done.
Right.
So I've actually heard this before, where they talk about like the chariot of God. Because they don't know how else to explain it, the fiery chariot of God, but they really think it was aliens and all sorts of things like that. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. It's an interesting concept. I don't know. What do you think? I'm going to change my light real quick, so you just keep talking.
All right. There's so much metaphor in the book of Revelation and the Bible, so in the Bible in general, in a lot of the stories. So I, as all of you know, am a Christian, but I'm a weird Christian because, like, as far as the Old Testament stuff, I don't personally think that all of that is to be taken literal. And I partially because it, I don't know if it was ever intended to be literal, and partially because of what Zach just said, that the people that were writing it, you know, like even the stories of Moses and things like that from all those years, you know, from talking about things that happened hundreds of years ago and, you know, lived to be 900 years old and all, like, I think a lot of that is folklore personally, but that sounds really bad. I'm really bad. Some would say a good and some would say a bad representative of my faith, but I just, you know, I used to teach the Bible a lot, actually. I'm in an old church as a youth minister, and I did not particularly get along great with the pastor because I was like, I'm a researcher, I'm a studier, and I'm like, look, things like Jesus, like, we know there was a man, Jesus, that did exist, and he was believed in to perform miracles, and people followed him. That's where the, you know, so we like, that's something we can sink our teeth there. That person did exist, but when you're looking at stuff written in the Old Testament, you know, the parting the Red Seas and all that, maybe that stuff happened. I don't know, but some of it I think that is metaphor.
Well, who's the comedian that has the bit about Jesus being a shitty carpenter? Do you know what bit I'm talking about? Where he's like, good thing this Messiah thing worked out because he was a shitty carpenter.
No, but I remember one of the best things I ever heard about evolution was George Carlin, the comedian, who said, if people evolved from monkeys, then why the fuck are there still monkeys? Which makes sense.
That's a good point.
Whole idea of evolution is what, survival of the fittest, right? So it's supposed to be just, like, there technically, I guess, shouldn't be monkeys. But not that, I don't want to get into all that and debate all that, but it's just, it's humorous.
I don't think everybody's saying Jim Gaffigan, but I believe Jim Gaffigan does have a bit about that, but that's not, I think it was, I'm thinking of Michael Che, I think, because I don't think it was Gaffigan, because Gaffigan's clean, and this wasn't a clean bit.
Right. Sorry, I'm just trying to catch up here for people that are commenting what I just said. Nobody seems mad, so that's good. Pamela Westby says, where was Jesus during adolescence and teenager? Because, you know, the Bible starts off, I'm about to give you the best book recommendation you've ever had. The Bible, you know, Jesus is a baby, and then Jesus is 33 years old, and then he's in his ministry. So what happened to all those other years in between there? Probably my favorite author of all time is Christopher Moore, he writes kind of satirical comedy. And one of my favorite types of books is when someone takes, like weaves a good story into true events. And he has a book, Christopher Moore. Every single one of you should buy this book right now. You should jump on Amazon. Anybody that likes to read and likes something humorous and is not easily offended, and get the book, Christopher Moore, The Lamb. It's called The Lamb. And it is about, God, I wish I could remember the names. But it basically was like Jesus and his best friend Biff and their life through their, so he fills in the gaps. He makes this whole story. It's called Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff. Don McElhinney just put up. It is so funny. And it is the story of those missing years from the Bible, what Jesus was up to during those years along with his best friend Biff. And it's hysterical. And what's awesome about it is there's all the, even when they get into his ministry years later, the book's hysterical, but then, like, there's little nuggets in there that he talks about that are the parallel of the Bible. So these things happen, but it's kind of like, well, this happened. I don't want to give the book away, or I'd give examples, but it's like, so this happened, but this is the backstory. This is what was really going on when this happened. Like, there was a point where, you know, he went and lived with monks for a long time, where he was bringing lizards back from the dead. Like, there's just all this. Great book. Highly recommend. People are asking if we're going to Crime Con.
Bob didn't invite me, so.
To Crime Con? Yeah, well, I wasn't going, to be honest with you, this
See,
year.
See, Bob didn't even invite me.
Right. But someone just said it's been rescheduled till October 30th. I did not know it had been rescheduled. I knew they had canceled it because it was supposed to be like this week, I think. Or maybe it was back in May is when it was supposed to be. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna go or not. I had some issues with Crime Con, with the way that it was, like they don't know I have issues, but I had issues with the way that it was run, and I don't like the way the podcasters were treated, specifically Jim Clementi and his team, who basically... So here's my little, my quick little version of this. It's an awesome event, and it's really, I love going to hang out with the listeners, and that's the coolest part about it, and other podcasters that I get to hang out with. But somebody asked where it's at. It's supposed to be in Orlando, I believe. They built CrimeCon on the backs of podcasters. So when they had this idea, they reached out to all these podcasters and said, "Hey, we want to do this event, and we want you guys to come and talk about this on your show to sell all these tickets." And we were all like, okay, cool. So we used what is very valuable ad space to, for free, tell all of our listeners, come to this big event. And most of us, you know, guys like, you know, us and True Crime Garage and Generation Y and Undisclosed, you know, some of the bigger podcasts that have, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of followers, all told everybody to come. And then all these people came, and then they went to Jim Clementi and said, you know, will you MC this thing? And they had actually asked me at one point, but I didn't know what it was. And I was like, I didn't know. So then they had Jim MC it. Jim runs the whole show. We get thousands of people. It's a huge success. We had no idea they were going to sell the tickets for $300 a piece or whatever they were. The next year, it's even bigger. Same thing. All the podcasters, you know, help market it, and we fill it all up. And all, they had all these sessions with all the podcasters. Jim brought a bunch of people down on his dime to be a part of it, to teach all these classes and do all these sessions. And then we built this huge thing up for them for free. And then the next year they're like, oh yeah, podcasters, you guys come and we'll give you one pass in. So like for me to bring Mike, I had to pay $300 for a pass for him to get in. And like, we'll give you a hotel for one of you, but the rest of you, anybody else on your crew has to pay for it. So Jim Clementi, who brought 17 people and ran the entire show the year before, it was the biggest draw. They did some awesome interactive things. They told him, yes, we want you to bring all 17 people, but we'll only let one or two of you in for free and only give you so many hotel rooms. And so that's why Jim ended up not going last year, and none of his XG team ended up going because of it. And then also last year when you got there, anybody who was there, I know the McElhaneys were there. I think you guys were there. I know you guys were in Nashville. Anyway, all the sessions were not podcasts. Like, it turned into a TV thing. So there's, you know, Nancy Grace and all these TV hosts were doing all these sessions, and the podcasters were stuck in this back corner. Like, here's your podcast row. And so we all paid for our travel. Half of us were paying for hotels and our own tickets to get in there, while all the TV people got all the red carpet treatment. And all of that was built and marketed by the podcasters. So that was my issue with it. So this year I was planning on possibly not going, because it really kind of pissed me off how all the podcasters got shit on. But that's just my own personal.
That was shorter than I expected it to be, and I think a lot of our listeners expected it to be longer.
It was
than
way
that
too long. There is another true crime festival that one of our listeners, Lisa Strawn, puts on. I think it's called True Crime Festival. It was in Chicago last year, was the first year. I think she was going to do it again this year. But I'll probably go to that, because that is more grassroots stuff. I just don't like that all the podcasters were just kind of shit on in the other one. Because the whole cool thing about it was that it was, you know, podcasters who are not celebrities. None of us are celebrities. We just have our own little niche and our own little audience. But got to go and meet people who really, you know, people who look, it sounds so douchey, but people looked at us as celebrities, people who listen to us every week, that consider us some kind of celebrity, but only to them, you know. But that was the cool thing, was it was just between us. So it was cool. They got to come, they got to meet us. We were thrilled. You know, I'm always excited to meet any listeners or fans and take pictures and get to know people. And it was like this really cool, intimate thing. And it just stopped being that. And now my rant is over after round two.
Somebody's asking me about how I drink.
This is why I talk so much. Listen to you. You're all quiet now. Doing?
Because I'm still trying to figure out what the hell you were talking about.
Oh. Okay. So
I'm reading. I'm doing the Bob thing where I'm reading comments.
Reading all the comments.
Yeah. I got to stop reading the comments.
Oh, I'm trying to get through this bourbon, man. It's really bad. I don't think I'm going to finish this glass. This is last 2 weeks. I drank like a half a bottle.
Yeah.
So my interaction with, I've had a few. Have I ever told you, I know the old off-duty fans have heard this story, but have I ever told you my boat story?
Your boat story? I don't know. I possibly have heard the boat story. I've heard a lot of stories.
Everybody has. So this is, so my interaction with police was, and I'll try to tell the shortest version possible, I was on a boat. I'd bought a new boat, never had a boat before at this time, years and years ago, and decided to take it out to Lake Michigan. And I got everything. I, you know, like ran to Walmart and got, you know, you got to have a life jacket for everybody on board. And it was supposed to be me, my friend Zabo, and my two cousins. The four of us were going to go out on Lake Michigan. So I literally like went to the store and bought four life jackets. And as we're getting ready to leave, everybody was at my parents' house. My cousins were in from out of town. And my uncle says, "Hey, I want to go with you. Let's go." And I'm like, "All right, hop in." Without thinking about it, now I have five people and I only have four life jackets. And so we cruise out, we launch in St. Joe and we cruise all the way down the channel, all the way out to Lake Michigan. We get out into the lake and so, you know, we're watching the sunset. It's 4th of July time and playing some music, drinking beers, having a good old time. And my uncle, who is a retired or former Coast Guard, starts asking questions about the boat. And he's like, you got a radio? I'm like, "Yeah, we're listening to it." He's like, no, like a Marine radio. Like, no, why would I need that? And he's like, "Cause I didn't realize the laws were different from if you're in an inland lake to where if you're in like the Great Lakes." So like you have to have all kinds of more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes through all stuff.
Once in my life, I actually knew that.
Yeah. I did not know that. You're supposed to have flares. You're supposed to have either a radio or a way to signal an audible signal. And he's like, "Well, you got a horn, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, push the button. Horn doesn't work." I'm like, shit. So like nothing works. And he's like, "Dude, we better just go in." I'm like, "Well, we're already out here now." So we hang out, we have a few more beers, and then we start cruising back in. It's getting dark and we're cruising back through the pier, and there's people lining the piers. And I thought it'd be funny. I had a spotlight that I had plugged into the boat to help me the first time. I'm like, "This will come in handy when I'm, you know, trying to launch or whatever if it's dark so I can see the pier." So as we're driving down the pier, there's like people up on the piers making out. And so I play Marvin Gaye, "Let's Get It On," really, really loud, and put a spotlight on him, which was a good old time. But right across from that pier is the Coast Guard station. And so my uncle is like, "Dude, knock it off. Those coasties don't, you've been drinking, those coasties do not fuck around." And I, not knowing how well voices carry over water, was like, "There's coasties ain't doing shit. They're sleeping. It's 10 o'clock at night. They're asleep. Like, they're not fucking doing anything." Little did I know that one of those coasties was actually sitting on a picnic table right across from the pier smoking a cigarette at that time. So go cruising up a little further. Here comes a sheriff's department boat, Bering County Sheriff's. And they whoop, whoop, pull me over. I'm like, "Ah, fuck." So he comes aboard. Now, everybody on the boat knows that we don't have enough life jackets. And the horn doesn't work. So just know that. Everyone knows this. Also, most of the people on the boat are drunk. I am not. I've had some drinks, but I'm not drunk. So the guy pulls me over and pulls up and they ties out to the boat. And he's like, "Just doing a routine safety check." I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "I just need to make sure you got all the life jackets." And again, we all know there's not enough life jackets. But I just go, "Oh yeah, there's a ton of them underneath the seat right there." He's like, "All right, let me see it." So they lift the seat up and you see some life jackets. And he goes, "Okay, that's fine." Close it up. I'm like, "Thank God." And then drunk friend Zabo goes, "Bob, there's five of us and there's only four life jackets in here." Like, are you fucking kidding me? And so the guy's like, "I'm going to have to come aboard." And then he starts checking. He's checking the life jackets and he checks the registration, which I hadn't been to the Secretary of State yet to transfer the registration. I'm like, "Well, I just bought this. I haven't transferred the registration yet." And he's like, "You can't do that either. I need you to come into the Coast Guard station."
You're falling apart at this point.
Yeah. So I'm like, "What the fuck?" So I go cruise now. It's like 11 o'clock at night. So we go cruising up to the Coast Guard station and we pull up and they leave us docked there. And my cousin Cherie is like, "I gotta pee really bad." And so did my other cousin Jay. So they're both like, "I got to pee, I got to pee." We're sitting there. I'm like, and my uncle's like, "Just be cool, just be cool." Like, just don't fuck with these people. Now, me, I've been a firefighter for a long time. I work with cops all the time. I know cops are just regular people. So I think I will just take the edge off and joke around a little bit with these guys. So the Coast Guard guy comes up to the boat, which, by the way, they do not have a sense of humor at all. Did not know that. So he comes up and he's like, "Sir, do I have permission to board your vessel?" And I said, "Well, that's an awful personal question, don't you think?" To which he did not laugh at all. He just stared at me. I'm like, yeah, come on aboard. And he said, "Is there anything dangerous, any firearms or explosives on this boat or anything that may do me any harm, sir?" And I said, "No, not here. But do you have any firearms or anything that might do me harm?" As he's got a pistol on his hip. And he said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Okay, welcome aboard. Come on in." And so I'm starting to figure out that this guy is not really excited about my sense of humor, as I thought I was being very funny. So he goes to get on the boat, and the first thing he does when he steps into the boat is he trips and falls and smashes his knee. And to which point, all of my drunk family and friend in the boat start hysterically laughing. I am doing one of these, trying not to laugh. And he says, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make a ruckus. I just tripped over your Jim Beam bottle." To which Zabo, who got us into this whole fucking mess to begin with, responds, "You idiot, that was a Jack Daniels bottle." So things are going from bad to worse at this point. So he comes on and then he starts asking me questions. And he's like, "All right, sir, do you have a, the life jackets we already knew?" And then he asked me, he's like, "Well, do you have a fire extinguisher?" I'm like, "Yes, I have a fire extinguisher." He's like, "Okay. All right, now open the engine hatch. I need to see if you have a flame arrestor." I'm like, "I just showed you my flame arrestor." He's like, "No, that's a fire extinguisher. I need to see your flame arrestor." And I said, "Sir, I'm a fireman, and that will absolutely arrest flames. That is my flame arrestor." And by the way, I was serious at this point. I thought he was the idiot. And he's like, "No, sir, open the engine compartment." And then he shows me this thing that's on top of my carburetor. And he said, "That is your flame arrestor." And I said, "Sir, that is an air filter." And he said, "Why the fuck would you need an air filter in the middle of the lake? There's no dust." So apparently the flame arrestor is the thing that looks like an air filter on your boat. So he checks that. And then I asked for, "Do I have a flare gun?" "I don't have a flare gun." And he's just making a list. And then he says, "Do you have a radio?" And I said, "Yes, sir. That's what I was playing Marvin Gaye on just a few minutes ago." And he asked the same question as my uncle. "No, no, no. A radio, like a marine radio." And I said, "I think it's for marine. It says it's waterproof." And again, he says, "No. Do you have a radio that you could call for help on?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, then do you have an audible device?" I said, what kind of audible device? What do you mean?" He said, "A horn. Do you have?" And he's getting furious at this point. And now I'm trying not to be funny. I'm just like, you have to help me. I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, "A fucking horn. Do you have a horn?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I got a horn." Now, mind you, by this point, they'd left us alone a couple times. It's, I don't know, midnight, 12:30 by this point. And he's like, "Okay, I'm going to need you to blow the horn." Now, remember, everyone on the boat knows the horn doesn't work. So I say, "Sir, it's midnight. There's houses right there. Do you really want me to blow my horn right now?" He's like, "Blow the horn." So I go to reach down to push the button because I'm going to plead dumb and ignorant that I don't know that the horn doesn't work. And my drunk as shit cousin Jay on the front of the boat looks back at me and winks. So I'm like, "Uh-oh. I don't know what's going to happen here." So I push the button, and Jay goes, "Honk." And he tries to look slick, like, "Honk." And now I'm trying to hold back laughing so hard. I have tears streaming down my face. And I just look back at him, and he shakes his head at me and says, "Can you do that again?" And I said, I'm not sure. So I push the button again. Jay goes, oh. You would think that this motherfucker would at least crack a smile. Stone-faced, sir, your friend making a horn sound out of his mouth does not meet the requirements for an audible device on your boat.
Oh, my God.
And I said, you know, I kind of figured that. And he says, stand by. And he leaves the boat. And now my uncle is sitting there saying, you're going to jail, Bob. You're going to fucking jail. And I'm like, I don't think I've done anything that wrong. And what I didn't realize is they all thought I was drunk. People, my friends, my cousins all thought I was drunk. So he goes away for a little while. And then my one cousin, the drunk one that was doing the honk sound, is like, I got to pee. I'm just going to pee in the water. I'm like, don't you fucking dare piss off this boat right now. And then my other cousin, Cherie, female, is like, I have to pee. I'm going to pee my pants. Something has to be done. So now, while they're having a little powwow and we're sitting on the boat, I have to start flagging them down. Going, hey, guys. And they come back. I'm like, yeah, like three of us have to pee. Is there any chance we could use the facilities? And they say, we don't have a public bathroom. And I'm like, well, we got a problem because we have to pee. And there's really no way to do that. So what do you want to do now? And they're like, fine. So they're like, well, we can't leave any of you out here. So you guys can go into the living quarters inside the Coast Guard station. So they file all five of us out of the boat, march us in a line into the Coast Guard's building, where one by one we go pee. And then we come back out to the boat. They put us back in the boat. And my cousin sits down and cracks open a beer, to which I had to slap his hand to put the beer back in the cooler. Like, what are you doing? And then they pulled me out of the boat and want to talk to me. So I'm thinking this is finally over. And they start doing a sobriety test on me. And at this point, I'm getting a little irritated. And they're like, you know, they're asking me questions. And they want me to, I said, they're like, can you say the alphabet without singing it? And I'm like, A, B, C, D. I'm like, that's hard to do it without singing. And then, like, everything there, I couldn't do anything they wanted me to do. And so finally, I was like, can you just give me a breathalyzer? Like, I will consent to a breathalyzer. Can you just give me a breathalyzer? And they're like, okay, fine. We'll just give you the breathalyzer. And then they hold the thing up. It's like, okay, blow in this thing. And I'm like, wait a minute. Am I allowed to drink in the boat? And they're like, the one guy's like, just blow in the tube. And the young kid that's with him is like, oh, yeah, you can drink while you're driving the boat. I'm like, okay, so I'm good that I was drinking on the boat. Like, great. Pull it, and I'm like, is the legal limit still the same as being in a car? And the guy's like, just blow in the fucking tube. And the other guy's like, no, actually, it's 0.08 in a car. It's 0.10 when you're on a boat. I'm like, okay. So I blow on the tube, and he's like, okay. And he puts it away, and he says, okay, sir, I would advise that you not drink anymore tonight. And I was like, well, did I pass? And he's like, I would advise that you not drink any more tonight. So, well, what's my score? And he's like, just go back to the boat. I'm like, no. I consented to blowing your little tubey thing. I want to know what my score is. And he's like, you blew a 0.02.
Score.
Yeah. And I was like, 0.02? Shit, what do you mean I can't drink anymore? Sounds to me like I can have four times that much and still be fine to ride the boat. At which point they take me back to the boat. The Coast Guard guy comes back, takes me out. And he still wants to deal with me for everything else and put me in like a little holding cell. And I'm sitting there, at which point apparently my cousins and my uncle were convinced I was going to jail. I don't know what they were doing. I sat there for a little while. They pulled me out, put me back in the boat. And then the Coast Guard guy comes out 2 hours into this ordeal, writes me a ticket and for all the violations that I had. And then as he hands it to me, he says, do you know why I had you pulled over? I was like, routine safety check? He's like, you know, there I was, sitting on a picnic table, enjoying a nice cigarette, getting ready to go to bed. And I hear some jackass blasting Marvin Gaye, shining a spotlight, and talking about how us lazy coasties are probably sleeping. So One other lesson you might learn from this tonight, sir, is that voices carry across water better than you think. So now this is over, and I go to leave. Well, the boat had a little bit of a problem shifting from forward to neutral to reverse. So I start backing up, and I'm trying to turn around, and I'm going towards this rock outcropping right there. And I try to shift it up into neutral, and it won't go into neutral, and I'm about to smash my prop against the rock wall. And so I slam it really hard, which thrusts it full throttle forward, at which point the boat lurches forward and slams right into the dock where they're all standing on, and almost knocks the dock over. Just boom! At which point I just continued to get it back into reverse and get out of there and just waved as I was driving. At least you know that I'm not drunk! And went on about my way. That was my law enforcement story.
That's pretty good. I'm going to see if I can get Michelle to bring me another drink.
Oh, well, I think we should probably wrap this up pretty soon. We got Mike pretty good yesterday, made him edit an hour and 47 minute podcast.
Yeah, we did pretty good. And I don't know how well that put together. I haven't listened to it yet. I know I was a blubbering baby at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was real. It wasn't. There was nothing fake about it, but
on that front, we should talk. Maybe we should touch on that before we wrap things up. But I do think we should wrap things up pretty soon here.
Okay.
Mostly because my drink is gross, so I'm not enjoying my drink. I don't know. The situation is tough. We talked a little bit on Truth and Justice that any of you Truth and Justice listeners will hear on Friday, but it's really frustrating and sad time right now. And I guess my input on the whole thing is. As I said earlier on Truth and Justice that, I have a much greater understanding.
They haven't heard it, so.
Right. Right. But I don't want to hear it again on Friday, but I have a much greater understanding of the Black Lives Matter movement. Now seeing all this, something needs to be done. I don't know what needs to be done, but I'm behind it 100%. One thing that I wish if even a small portion of people could do is to stop fucking politicizing this so much. And stop using it to spread hate against one party or the other party. Each side is throwing stones about how the Democrats aren't handling it right. The Republicans aren't handling it right. The reality of the situation is with these protests going on and the all the violence and looting and rioting, which those are two different groups. As far as I'm concerned, there are plenty of legit protesters. And then there are a bunch of opportunists that are using the chaos to create all these problems. I don't know what the solution is to it. You don't want to have a huge police force or military force because people are trying to protest peacefully. But at the same time, and I know Pam Westby, I believe, Pam, are you from Minneapolis? I know you're from, I think, Minnesota. And I saw you posting on one of the social medias the other day that, there were buildings burning down and stuff around you. And the thing is that all the other people in these neighborhoods don't deserve to have everything destroyed and to live in fear with all that's going on right now. So obviously somehow that has to be stopped, but it's a horrible position for any, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, this is happening all around the country. It's a horrible position to be in because you're trying to balance with respecting the people and giving them the right to protest and protecting the people that are having everything they own and have worked for destroyed. At the same time. And so I don't know what the solution is. And for me, I'm just praying for everybody that has to make those decisions and hoping that this comes to a peaceful resolution. I did see today that they upgraded the officer's charges from third degree murder to second degree. Which did you see that, Zach?
Yeah. And they arrested the other, they put out charges against the other three officers as well.
Right. For aiding and abetting,
mm-hmm.
Which I think that was a good, to be honest with you, I think that the second degree was a mistake, and I explained this earlier, but the reason is not because I don't want the guy prosecuted more, it's because I want him convicted. And in order to prove second degree murder, you have to prove that there was intent to kill, which, mm-hmm. Emotionally we can say, yes, there was intent to kill, but to prove that in a court of law, I think it'll be tough. And I think if you try to go to trial with second degree murder, there's a chance that he would get acquitted. Third degree murder, which only exists in four states in the entire country, third degree murder means someone was doing something that would performing a dangerous act on someone that resulted in their death. And it carries, I believe, a 25-year sentence in Minnesota, and I don't know that that's enough. But what I know is he will get convicted of that. The evidence is there for that. That's good that I think that they're holding these people accountable. We need systematic change. I am behind, and I know Zach is too, very much so. Anything we can do to help with this movement, I hope that the rioting and the looting and all that is stopped, so that, because what's happening is taking the attention away from what's important right now, which is the life of George Floyd and the treatment of African Americans and all minorities throughout our country. And we need a better solution there. And so if it matters to any of you at all what I think, all I'm asking is to stop spreading hate, spread positivity, stop politicizing this. And if we can, you know, as a group, come through in a positive way to help support the movement in a positive way, I think that would be great.
I mean, you guys all know how I feel. You guys watched me break down, and that was true feelings. I mean, I really broke down in front of you guys last week. That was not intended. I intended to come out and talk openly about it. I did not intend to break down the way I did. So everybody's heard it. They know my opinions. Between, you know, from that podcast up until now, I've had even more gut-wrenching things happen. You know, over the course of this, we had a phone call from the police telling us to prep our business for looting. And it's something I never would have thought I would have had to worry about ever in my lifetime. You know, I've built a business that I've had for 10 years that I built from the ground up that's been my life. And now I have to go get it ready for people to loot. I mean, they legitimately said, you know, get your business ready for looting in downtown because it's most likely going to happen. And right. It's just heartbreaking. I went up there that day in tears, trying to figure out what I could do to protect my business. Even though I know it's not from the peaceful protesters, it's not from, it's from outsiders. It's ridiculous. It's not these people that, it's just instigators that are trying to rile people up. But I have to worry about my business. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of it, they're talking about that Antifa and all the stuff, and some of it may be organized and some of it may be that. But I think also there's a lot of it that are just like there are a lot of good cops and there are some bad cops, in the same way, there are a lot of good people and there are some bad people. And there are people that don't give a shit about George Floyd, don't give a shit about Black Lives Matter, don't give a shit about any of this, that are like, hey, people are protesting, I'm going to use this as an excuse to bust into these businesses and steal shit. You know, and that's it. But so for you, you've got to see it. I mean, you coming from a biracial family, it affects you deeply what's happened with the racism and everything else. So you see that side of it. Surely you can understand why people are protesting and that something needs to be done. And at the same time, you're also one of those business owners that's like, well, now because of this, I may lose my entire livelihood and everything I've invested. So certainly you can see the duality of how difficult this is on both sides.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for words for all of this. I mean, it's extremely upsetting, and I'm truly at a loss for words to even know what to do anymore. The biggest thing, like you said, is all we can do is preach love and to move forward without hate and to try to encourage everybody to do the same.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that is a perfect note to go ahead and wrap this thing up. We will not be live next week, folks. We've been really loving this. We will definitely, what do you think, maybe once a month or so we'll do this?
Absolutely.
Yep. And the trick is we can't do this when we're in the same room. We can only do it through Zoom because our cameras aren't connected to anything. So we can't go live when we're in the same room unless we both had computers running Zoom and my internet can't handle that. So we'll probably once a month or so we'll do this. I've really enjoyed doing it. I love interacting with you guys. But next week we will be back in the studio. Thank you guys all for hanging with us through this whole pandemic and through all the good times and bad, and for hanging out with us here on our YouTube lives. Zach, thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Love you guys. We'll see you guys later. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@bobweavepod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.